Hello. Hi, folks. It's been a while. It's been a while since I came on air. I just got busy with work and life. As always, I'm your host, Hannah, and you're listening to This Is Not Fine. This Is Not Fine is your healthy dose of rage about culture, media, and society, only on CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Hunka, meaning-speaking Musqueam people. Today, I have a special guest in studio with me, Sarah! Ah,
hello!
Sarah used to host the Arts Report at our beloved station, CADR, yes. Here at CADR, and is very talented.
Oh my god, thank you.
Hi Sarah. Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Oh my god, thanks for having me.
I'm excited. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I woke up to a bunch of construction noises, so my day didn't start off great. But then I remembered, hey, I'm going to leave and do a show with Hannah, so everything's fine.
Oh, I'm so flattered.
Yeah, so now we're good.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just asking Sarah. So Sarah's been hosting the Arts Report for how many years now?
2 years. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was co-hosting before that for like a year. It's been a long time.
I know, right? That's what I was telling Sarah. I'm like, how does it feel to be on the other side?
It's interesting. It's also... honestly, being a guest on a show is pretty fun. As much as I love hosting, it's also nice to not worry about all of the technical stuff and just like talk and enjoy.
And hang out.
Yeah, and hang out. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, after years of hosting, I'm kind of enjoying this being a guest portion of these things.
I love that for you. And I totally get it. You get to hang out.
Yeah, exactly.
Come eat the cake, but you don't have to worry about cleaning the dish.
Oh my god, exactly.
Okay, I'm very proud of the analogy.
Oh, me too.
Listeners.
Good job.
Okay, yeah, so talking about today's show, I'm really looking forward to talking to Sarah today, and we'll be discussing and just digging deep into glorification of mental illnesses, especially on social media. That's just something that Sarah and I were talking about on Saturday, something we've been seeing for a couple years now, and we just want to like dig into it and dissect it and talk about what are just like, I think what we're going to do is like we're going to start by talking about the latest trends around this glorification and romanticization of mental illness on Instagram or TikTok or any other social media platform.
Yeah. I feel like when you added romanticization.
Yes.
Yeah, I can speak English. I think, yeah, that makes more sense because both the glorification and the romanticization happens. And yeah. It's a lot. It's not good.
Yeah. So, Sarah, you were actually talking about some trends that you've been seeing. Do you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah. So, what I've mostly been seeing since I joined TikTok like 2 years ago is this, I guess, want / need to be, you know, neurodivergent. So, for those who don't know, neurodivergency is... just as what it sounds like, your neural pathways, your brain doesn't work typically. It is, it works different than quote unquote normal people. So people with ADHD, people with autism, or any type of, not really, well, I guess disorders, but it sounds so negative when you call it disorder, but you know, any type of stuff like that, those people are neurodivergent. And what I've been seeing on TikTok a lot is people sharing their experience, which is honestly great because you raise awareness about these mental illnesses and about these disorders. And a lot of people are now getting diagnosed, especially with ADHD, because especially in women, ADHD is underdiagnosed. And a good thing about like sharing has been the fact that people are now talking to their therapists, talking to their psychiatrists, and getting the diagnosis that they need and starting the medication and the therapy that they need. However, with that comes the negative sides, where now people are, you know, there's this idea that being neurodivergent is better, and people are trying to convince others that they are neurodivergent, that, you know, they have ADHD, that they have autism, which are very important and difficult disorders. And
I just want to add to that. So, yeah, what you were saying, being neurodivergent, being atypical is almost cool and edgy, and that's insane.
No, it is. I feel like it's very similar to the Tumblr days when eating disorders were being romanticized and glorified, and people were trying to have eating disorders without really knowing what they're actually about, what they would need to go through while they're going through those type of things. And I feel like the same is happening now with this type of stuff, whether it be, you know, ADHD, depression, or things like that in general.
For sure. Yeah, it's almost, you know, I think of it as like being depressed and anxious online is trendy.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly.
It's like fashionable.
Yeah, I know. I do like the fact that being so, having depression and having a mental illness is being normalized.
Yeah.
And the stigma around mental health needs to be lifted.
For sure.
Because it's a really important thing. Your mental health is as important as your physical health. Mm-hmm. However, now it's coming to a point where people are like, hey, look at my depression room. I'm so like, I have depression. I'm, you know, you don't have depression? I don't know. Like stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
it's really so much like it trivializes real mental health illnesses or mental health issues, and to the point that I feel like people who actually are suffering are not taken seriously, because then there's all this comparison of like, oh, look at this person online, they're depressed too. But hey, these disorders, mental illnesses, have serious repercussions for folks, right? And it's not something which is cute and quirky. And I agree. And to social media's credit, mental health and talking about it is becoming more destigmatized every day. It's normalized. There's so much awareness that's being raised. People are finding online communities and support groups, and that's great. That's wonderful. And more people are opening up and sharing their struggles.
Yeah.
But then the duality of man comes here, where there's a dark side that I feel like social media just blurs the line between what is authentic and what is performative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, this is to put up a show in front of people. This is to make my content quote-unquote relatable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I notice a lot of like self-deprecating humor. I love it. I enjoy it. Yeah. I indulge in it. But it's almost so much like woke up depressed or something, and then you're in bed like with your no makeup makeup look. It's just wild. And then people who are actually struggling, it can be so harmful and toxic for them, being like, oh, why can't I do all of this?
Yeah.
You know, like,
also, I do want to mention, you know, disorders and mental illnesses, they look different on everyone, and especially depression. Everyone goes through depression in different ways, some more severely, some can function while having depression, which is actually called functioning depression.
High-functioning depression,
And so, you know, it could also be for those who are going through it very severely, who can't even get out of bed, who can't, you know, even find the energy to brush their teeth in the morning. Those people scrolling on TikTok and seeing those with high-functioning depression who can go about their days showing the quote-unquote, like, the good part, good side of depression, while behind the scenes, they're also struggling a lot. But you don't see that on social media. And so it could be very detrimental to those people, because they think, oh, we're both going through depression, mm-hmm. but they can live their life and I can't, so I must be a very bad person.
Lazy, right?
Yeah, just exactly.
Unproductive, which is the worst crime you can do.
Yeah, feel guilty.
Under capitalism.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, feel guilty about having depression, which is not something that you can control.
No. And yeah, again, I want to emphasize to everybody who's listening that in no way are we trivializing people's experiences.
Yeah, no.
Depression and anxiety look so much different. And you can be suffering through it, but people... and people can have no idea. But here we're specifically just talking about the glorification and romanticization that happens, mm-hmm. and how it does ends up doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
And people who actually are struggling get shut out of this conversation, mm-hmm. and it's almost commodified, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I actually... While I was reading up a little bit about today's topic, mm-hmm. I came across this TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, FYI, but I do occasionally indulge in it,
yeah.
guilty pleasure. And there's this influencer, there's like some catchy song playing in the background, and she's just kind of mm-hmm. like doing this dance. And it almost goes like, I have depression, I have anxiety, and I don't have friends, and I don't have a boyfriend. It's a very like catchy song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something serious and not funny almost,
yeah.
you know? But yeah, and so there's this mental health account on Twitter, and they shared this person's content, this person's TikTok. And then I actually have the post they shared and like what they wrote. And I think mm-hmm. it's really apt of what we're trying to talk about today. So this account, I forget its name. They said something like this: can we please stop romanticizing anxiety and depression? It's not trendy, cute, or special. Having mental health problems isn't beautiful and is not something to be a stupid trend on an
yeah.
app called TikTok. And nobody wants anxiety or depression, and they're not just quirky traits.
Yeah.
They're actually real serious conditions that
yeah.
people live with.
Yeah, I agree. And also, on top of that, I feel like posting about your mental illness in a way like you described, with like a catchy song, or you're dancing, you're smiling, it makes people watching that feel subconsciously that this issue isn't as important as it is. And
100%.
Yeah, makes it look very light. Which it
yeah.
really isn't.
No, exactly. Yeah, I get it. Humor is a great coping mechanism. But then things like this, it's very disingenuous.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's so far from the reality.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I wanted to mention a little about, like, you know how memes are very prevalent in our culture right now?
Yes.
And
we love memes here at CADR.
We do love memes. and we go through them very, like, quite fast. And people have started making memes about, like, you know, mental illnesses, mental disorders, as one does, because there's memes about literally everything mm-hmm. on this earth. And I see something happening, which is people with, say, okay, someone I know has ADHD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they find these memes really funny because,
yeah.
well, they are. And they send them to me. I don't have ADHD, but the thing is, I know, like, about ADHD because I studied it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, haha, yes, funny, okay. But I feel like also at the same time, if I didn't know about this disorder and I was sent these memes, I would feel left out because I wasn't understanding what the funny thing is. So I feel like as much as it is funny, like, and a good coping mechanism to, you know, have these memes on social media about, like, your mental illness or disorder, I also feel like some people, from feeling left out, are starting to say or act like they have these issues,
yeah.
just so they can also
fit
relate
in.
To these, yeah, and fit
right?
in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's so wild, but definitely I can imagine that people are like, oh, actually, this is what's up, this is
yeah.
what's cool, and while you were talking, I also think that in my brain, I just thought of, like, memes and all this content around mental health is being so mass-produced and mm-hmm. so constantly produced all the time that it loses its meaning.
Yeah.
Because it goes around so fast. And it's almost like how you pick up a newspaper, read your horoscope, and no matter what horoscope you're going to read, you can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it really has no meaning.
Yeah.
It's so vague.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And it's something that I wanted to get into because of people, you know, sharing their experiences on social media, people sharing memes and stuff like that. None of these things encapsulate the whole experience and like all of the symptoms that they're going through and stuff like that, right? And so taking these out of context, there's a lot of self-diagnosing that is happening, mm-hmm. which should not happen. If you think you have a disorder, go talk to your doctor. They know much better than you do. And if yeah. they say that you don't have it, you can get a second opinion. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe them, go get a second yeah. opinion. But trust your doctors because mm-hmm. they have studied these things for years and they will believe you if you think that you have a disorder
for
and you want
sure.
to be tested for it. But don't self-diagnose or, and then go around telling people that you have these things that
yeah.
you might not have.
I want to stop you right there, Sarah.
Yeah.
This is getting very interesting, but we do have to take a break.
Okay.
So I'm going to be playing Sun Queen by Frankie.
My body is numb. I dream of pink roses. Everywhere I look, the world is frozen. Roots of all shriveled leaves, gray like ashes. A dream of green. Sun Queen, if you could lay face on the carton of milk. I don't know if you feel good. Stars hiss and rattle around the void, shimmering light mingling with your whispered voice. Soft skin aglow on the beach in the warm and white. I can't recall ever having a better time. Shimmering stars hiss and rattle around.
Debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City.
Oh, I see the love that can overturn.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to This Is Not Fine, only on CIDR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm your host, Hannah, and I'm joined in the studio today by Sarah.
Hi.
You just thank you. You just heard Gin Fizz by Jasper Sloan Yip. Our very own Jasper Sloan Yip.
We love Jasper in this household.
Yes. He actually is my coworker. He's a programming manager here at CIDR. So what are we talking about today, Sarah?
We're talking about glorification and romanticization of mental illness on social media, which is very unfortunate, but a prevalent thing today, unfortunately.
Yes. And so in this segment, I really wanted to talk to you, Sarah, about this, just this, like, the psychology around why people do this. Why do people glorify mental illness or kind of like are really attracted to that kind of content?
Yeah. I'll start off by saying I don't think, you know, people do it purposefully. I don't think anyone on social media is like, hey, I have depression and I want to show people the good parts about it. And, you know, they show the, I don't know what good parts depression could have, but like the positive sides of it, and then kind of make it look like a quirk instead of an actual important disorder. And that way it becomes glorified. And with other disorders such as eating disorders and body related things, people only show the, you know, the quote unquote good parts. Where what I mean is, for example,
just surface level.
Yeah,
right?
In today's society, people want to be thin. Their fat phobia is very prevalent. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, even though the body positive movement has been more and more vocal lately, it's still, you know, there are still a lot of fat phobic people, and people try to lose weight all the time. And one way to lose weight is by having a eating disorder, most likely. There are, for example, with a binge eating disorder, mm-hmm. you could very well gain weight. But for anorexia and bulimia, it's one of the things is that there is a weight loss. And so people show their weight loss over the course of their, you know, disorder, and then don't really say that they have an eating disorder, but they're like, I haven't eaten anything today. I've only had water, or like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then people associate with this being good because they think that being thin is the goal and being important.
Totally.
And so that way, having an eating disorder becomes this thing, a goal that people want to achieve, and it becomes this romanticized
sort of ideal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I, oh my God, like it's so triggering.
It is.
It's so
it
triggering
really
for folks who are fat, folks who've been fat shamed, but
yeah.
also folks who have very real eating disorders, and eating disorders for which they had to seek long-term treatments.
Yeah.
And it's not fun. It's not pretty.
No.
And it's not really what you see on social media. And so
mm-hmm.
That's why it can be so sinister.
Yeah, exactly. They don't talk about the guilt that comes with it, the feeling of shame, the feeling of self-hate, and all of the negative thoughts that are attached with it. And they only show the quote-unquote positive sides.
Yeah, or almost just focusing on the goal. Like, hey,
yeah.
like, wouldn't it be great if you can lose weight? So how about...
Yeah,
you get that
exactly.
disorder, and
yeah.
I'm obviously joking, and I don't know, it's probably a bad joke, but what, like, what, you know, something that's so wild to me is, and I'm associating with this kind of content with just trauma porn, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is really extracting from serious issues,
mm-hmm.
very grave illnesses, and just extracting it for relatability, followers,
yeah.
Popularity,
yeah.
and fame.
Yeah, exactly. And people are always trying to fit in. No one wants to be different. In
yeah.
all of media, the weird, quirky girl is the outcast. And so
mm-hmm.
people never want to be her, right?
Yeah.
And this mm-hmm. applies to mental health stuff too right
yeah.
now.
But you know what's interesting though, and this is something that I've kind of noticed and also read about, is that the weird quirky girl stereotype is often a very attractive, beautiful, thin
mm-hmm.
woman.
Yeah.
And so you're like, you're not you would not be an outcast IRL.
Yeah.
So it's also just a depiction of that character can be so misleading in films.
Yeah. I agree. Also, I just want to quickly mention, because You saying that reminded me of, you know, like the manic pixie dream girl stereotype. I feel like the perfect example of this is Zooey Deschanel's character in 500 Days.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I saw this TikTok about this one guy was like, everyone wants to date a manic pixie dream girl until they realize that she's actually manic. And then... So, for example, this, like, title of a manic pixie dream girl is, like, a title that people want to achieve or have as their partner.
Oh, yeah.
Until they, you know, they don't really think about what that entails. People use the word manic without knowing what mania is and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's such a good point.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. And okay, such a great segue. Because I was going to talk about language and how language is weird and slippery, but so, so crucial and has power to either affect change, but also be destructive. And exactly what you said, if we say one word enough times, especially out of context, it can lose its meaning.
Yeah.
And I talk about manic pixie dream girl all the time, but I never reflected on what manic actually means.
Yeah.
Because in this context, it's just absolutely something else.
Yeah.
But people have real manias and manic disorders.
Yeah.
So I just think it's so wild that how we've totally, like, we use it so flippantly.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, for example, going off from what you said, saying I'm depressed has become a very normal whenever you feel sad.
Yeah.
Or something inconvenient happens.
Your coffee order got mixed up at JJ Bean.
I'm so depressed. Oh my God.
Yeah. Or you like cleaning and then you go around just being like, I'm so OCD.
Yeah.
And that has become a part of our contemporary lingo, something that people don't stop to think about or challenge. And something that I was reading online, it was so interesting, is that how this kind of language is part of our catastrophic culture, everything being in extremes and polarizing, like either you totally love something or you totally hate something. And there's just so much abundance of depression and social anxiety memes. And unfortunately, what has happened is we've just become so desensitized to actual mental health disorders, right? And that, and to like add on to that is that how like it transcends beyond just social media. We see it in ads, we see it in public service announcements. Like everyone is just demanding for our attention. Our attention spans are awful. Really, attention spans of goldfish is so real, and in order to grasp it, folks want to make the message and the content very exaggerated, very hyperbolic, something that has shock value. And we're almost, I don't know like what it is, but that's just kind of what calls out to us, right? Yeah, so just to say that...
also, I wanted to, I was telling you about this before on Saturday when we were talking about, you know, what this episode could be about. And I was talking about how, especially on TikTok, it's become so normal for people to say that they have body dysmorphia. I feel like this is kind of like language that, like you said, it's becoming desensitized. And for anyone who doesn't know, body dysphoric disorder is BDD for short. It's like an actual disorder that you need to have multiple symptoms of. And it's not you just looking in the mirror and not liking what you see. That's not body dysmorphia, not necessarily. But people have started, people have taken this term out of context and ran with it.
my hot tip would be unfollow all your toxic influencers and Kardashians, and then maybe you'll hate your body less.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? Yeah. Following people who look more like you and who are who appreciate their bodies for what they do is so helpful.
Yeah.
Can I just go on a quick little tangent here?
Yeah.
So I myself I'm a dancer. I've been doing ballet since I was 3 years old, but I have always been bigger than my classmates. I was always the fat one, and I was fat shamed by my teacher and by some of my classmates for throughout my basically years in ballet. And I never felt like I was worthy of doing ballet, even though I dedicate my time and it was so mentally challenging. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated, got my diploma. You know, I can teach. I can have my own ballet school in Turkey.
Heck
like,
yeah.
This is an accomplishment that not many people have.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
It was so diminished because I felt like I wasn't, you know, I can't be a dancer simply because I'm not like a thin girl. And then I found this dancer who resides in New York City. She's a professional dancer. And she gained weight over the course of the pandemic, which was, of course, difficult for her mental health because, as I said, being thin is the quote-unquote goal right now in our society.
Oh, yeah.
And gaining weight is seen as something negative.
Yes.
And so, but instead of, you know, wallowing in her
self-pity.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of self-pity, she owned it. Now she has like a big following on both TikTok and mm-hmm. Instagram. And she is showing that anybody can dance and anybody can be a dance body. And following her has been so helpful to me. And I can, mm-hmm. instead of feeling bad about myself and trying to lose weight, I now feel like, hey, I am a dancer. I have been doing this since basically I was a, you know, little child. Mm-hmm. I can dance and I don't need to feel embarrassed about this.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. Oh,
and
my
so,
God. You go, Sarah.
Yeah, everyone, do this. Don't just unfollow all of those people with Brazilian butt lifts. And
yes, if they're making you feel, if they're making you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
If you feel stressed or if you feel anxious in your body, then, you know, it's just bad vibes.
Yeah. And I will say this is not just about, like, the body, but also right now, like, grinding, like, the
hustle culture.
Yeah, the hustle culture
yeah.
is really, it's very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you're following people who are, like, waking up at 4 a.m., going to the gym, doing their job,
mm-hmm.
having a healthy breakfast, going grocery shopping, meeting up with their friends.
It's too much.
Yeah, exactly. And then you feel so bad after watching that content because you're like, oh, I wake up at noon every day, do nothing for 4 hours, maybe get some job
and that's
done,
okay.
and then go to sleep. Exactly. That's
okay
fine.
Sometimes. It's okay to be trash. You heard it here first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, follow those. Social media is really, it really affects your mental health and you really need to be conscious of who you follow and
mm-hmm.
how they
and
their contact affects you.
And take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so curated. Like, a lot of it is just not real.
Yeah.
It's performative and you can consume it, but just keep that in mind that, hey, like, this isn't really real and I don't need to feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
That's
so true.
And just going back to language again,
yeah.
right? I think what's really sad is when language and meaning get disconnected,
mm-hmm.
right? And that also, And that happens, again, with something you mentioned earlier, is with our self-diagnosis culture.
Yeah.
And just being really, I don't know, quick to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Or people, again, catastrophizing something of like, oh, you were in a bad mood yesterday. Are you depressed? Or
mm-hmm.
do you have bipolar, right? And it's
mm-hmm.
like, no, it's okay to have bad. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to have bad days without actually having a mental health issue. And I mean, it's okay to have a mental health issue, obviously. But point being is that we're too quick to attach labels to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is it really alienates people who are actually suffering, who are actually struggling. And then what happens is that other people who necessarily are not having those serious debilitating issues like end up taking so much space,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so also like really think about how much space you're taking in the conversation.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Everything, plus one to everything you said.
I love that. That's why I have you on my show. Okay, so we're going to take another short break. I'm going to play So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings by Caroline Paula Check.
All I Hi, I'm Confused, aka Julie B, aka Zigzag Stardust, aka the host of Musician. I would really love it if you could tune in every second Friday from 11 a.m. till noon and hear me turn the stuff that inspires me into weird audio improv. There's sound collages, there's local music, there's hot off the presses hit tracks, and it's waiting. It's for you. It's for us. It's made by us. So get at me, come on in, and stay inspired in the meantime.
Horse Girl, your favorite up-and-coming Chicago-based rock band, plays the Wise Hall on July 15th. You don't want to miss this. Come see punk rock band McLusky at the Rickshaw Theater on September 22nd. Check out www.rickshawtheater.com for more details.
Hello, what's up, dear listeners? We are back from our short break. You're listening to This Is Not Fine on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and I'm your host, Hannah, and in the studio live with me, I have Sarah.
Hi.
You just heard The Bug by Mega Mall, and fun fact, CADR has a not-for-profit record label called Fanta Records, and we actually launched their latest album,
yeah,
Escape from Lizard City. So that's very exciting. And oh, yeah. I played a PSA about them earlier. So go on Spotify or wherever you get your music from and check their music out. They're pretty dope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Sarah and I have been having a very interesting conversation about people, influencers, especially glorifying mental illness on social media for relatability, for gaining clout, followers, fame, etc. And like, why do people do it?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of the memification of mental illnesses. And it's been really interesting, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And for our last part, I would really like to talk about how can we do better and be more sensitive around mental illnesses and disorders?
I
know that's... I just mentioned it like, oh, this is a light topic. So what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
That was a lot. That was a lot. But, we can break it down.
Yeah, we can break it down. I think starting off with what I think is the easiest thing to do, which is be careful what you say. Be mindful of the language you use, because we just talked about how language adds to this problem, and being mindful of the language that you use is really important and could be really helpful. For example, not saying you're depressed when you're sad and don't actually have depression, mm-hmm. not saying I'm so anorexic when you don't feel like eating something, or not saying I want to kill myself at every inconvenience when you're not suicidal.
Yeah.
Stuff like
that. That's a big one. That's a big one. I mean, I get it. It's not, people don't have bad intentions, but it's just something that has been so used so loosely, mm-hmm. and it's so harmful, and it just trivializes folks who are actually really struggling and in a dark place. So definitely, yeah. I would say, if anything, like, try not saying that and correct your friends.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very important. And because, for example, if you have like a friend who is going through a tough time and they use this jokingly, you don't know that they're joking. You think that they might be serious, and this might cause a lot more problems.
Confusion.
Because, exactly, you can call their parents, call their friends, and then they will get worried too, simply because they, weren't meaning what they said.
Mm-hmm.
So being mindful of language is really important. And if you know, don't know what type of things, sayings, words that we're talking about, I feel like anything that you use lightly that might not be that so light counts towards this.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we do to be better about this?
Something that I want to say or add on to what you have already said, mm-hmm. is just don't be the boy who cried wolf. I mean, there is a lot of lessons that we can learn from that story that mm-hmm. we heard growing up, right? Because then at one point it becomes meaningless. People don't take you seriously. And so just really using mental health terms with care.
Yeah.
And just stopping for a second and really thinking that, like, what am I saying? And
yeah.
does this really reflect the reality? Like, I get it. I mean, I'm really dramatic at times.
Yeah.
But then it can be fine and dandy one second, but then the other second we're actually further stigmatizing mental health.
Yeah.
And so, of course, people should be authentic and really talk about their lived experience. But having said that, many times terms related to mental health are used very carelessly and for dramatization. And so, mm-hmm. just taking a moment and like reflecting if the language I'm using is accurate.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Also, it's okay to like correct yourself or go back on what mm-hmm. you said. I do that all the time. For example, something inconvenient happens. I'm like, oh, I hate my life. And I'm like, wait, no, that's a lie. I don't hate my life. But like, this is very annoying. And no one's like, oh, you just said you hate your life. Why did you go back on it? Like, no one cares. It's okay to fix that. And more you do that, you will get used to not using these words so lightly.
It's all about holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's in.
Yeah.
We should all do that.
Holding yourself accountable is the thing to do right
yes,
now.
Yes, that's trendy. Hey, like everything else, get out of here.
Exactly.
Sarah, I totally agree. I mean, I'm not perfect. Like, far from perfect.
Yeah.
I've definitely said things. I don't know. I've been very dramatic, and I actually don't mean it.
Yeah.
You know? Or I'm thinking, when you said, I hate my life, I'm thinking of mm-hmm. FML, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we just say that, like, all
yeah.
the time. And it's like, oh, but actually,
like, is it that important, really?
You don't really, yeah. It's like, oh, you don't really mean it.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. There's just so many things that I just say, and then when I take a chill pill, I'm like,
yeah,
that was unnecessary.
Yeah, you know, people listening might think like, oh, but like hyperbole is a thing. Like, I understand,
yeah,
but there are ways to use hyperbole that is not this.
For sure. I understand satire. I understand self-deprecating humor that we were talking about. And yes, I totally get it. And a lot of times folks actually suffering from I don't know, social anxiety or depression might use comedy for relief.
Mm-hmm.
So of course it's tricky, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're not here to preach folks to like how to talk and how not to talk.
Yeah.
But really the intention behind this episode and the hope is that just take a moment and reflect mm-hmm. and just be cognizant.
Yeah.
Because I have been doing that lately, and I realize like a lot of things I used to say, I just don't need to say
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, hold others accountable too. Like, instead of doom scrolling and not paying attention to what you're seeing on social media, if you see something that you don't agree with in terms of mental health, if you think, you know, if you see a video of someone dancing to, you know, talking about their depression, leave a comment, just, you know, hold them accountable too, because the more people think that it's okay to mm-hmm. make light of this issue, the more mental illness and mental disorders are going to get glorified and romanticized, and it will only get worse from here.
Totally. Or, you know, I get it. It takes a lot of energy to call people out on
yeah.
social media. So just unfollow them. Like,
yeah,
it's not
exactly.
your problem.
Or like, I don't know, report their video, click not like, don't show me something like this again. You
yeah.
have all of those options, yeah.
Yeah, like, definitely the most important thing is to take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones, and really check up on your friends. Because,
yeah
sometimes if your friend makes it, you think they make a joke, mm-hmm. are making a joke, but maybe they're not. And just
yeah.
checking in of like, oh, you've been saying some dark things and like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And who knows? So just being kind.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Okay, we have reached the end of our show. My God,
that went by so fast.
I know. Thank you so much for coming on my show, Sarah.
Thanks this was, for having me.
This was wonderful.
Yeah, I finally got to use my psychology knowledge.
For listeners who can't see, because this is radio, Sarah yeah. brought with her psych notes from my undergrad days.
Yeah, my abnormal psychology class notes.
I'm very flattered.
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah. And on a serious note, I just want to say, if you want to talk to someone or experiencing suicidal thoughts, text 1-800-SUICIDE, or you can call 1-800-784-2433. That is 1-800-784-2433. Or you can contact Mental Health Support Line at 310-6789. That is 310-6789. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, take care of yourself and your loved ones.
Second World War.